Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish On Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on social at BDon300. And today we are going to be breaking down the insane, crazy last second victory against Duke from this last Saturday. And then we'll also be getting you guys ready for another ranked opponent. Louisville enters the top 25 at 5-0 in the 25th spot, hosting us this weekend, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. So another game of the week. But before we can get into Louisville, we have to go back a week to this past Saturday. And it was a game that we had control of early, right? We were the beneficiary of a couple missed field goals by Duke. They weren't really able to move the ball. We weren't able to move the ball all that well in the first half. Maybe we moved the ball well, we just couldn't finish drives, but you score on the first drive of the game and then you don't get a touchdown until the absolute last drive of the game. So, and it was the last play that they ran on offense. So it was an emotional game, a white knuckler. Duke gave us their best shot. It was a rowdy environment. They played really well on defense. I just think that we just were a little bit too much. Notre Dame ends up covering on the 2-point conversion, which was nuts to me because I put a lot more than I did on the other bets than I did on Notre Dame. So that was a nice one to get home on. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a statistically pleasing game on any front. If you look at it for yardage from Hartman or yardage from Estime, it was a grinded out game. Estime, 4.5 yards a pop, 81 yards. Jeremiah Love had 44. Hartman had 23 on the ground, but the 17-yard run that he had on 4th and 16, if we get nothing else from Sam Hartman for the rest of the season, right? Signing him to be our quarterback was worth that run at least. Like, that run was waiting, waiting, waiting. Nobody's open. I gotta go. And he had to get 16 yards or his three defenders right around the line. He kind of just bulldozed his way through. I'm not going to say he trucked them, but he just kind of used as much force and speed to try and get through that. But he ended up getting the first down, extending the game. And then, as you all know, Adric Estime up the middle of the defense and then just bounced it outside when he got to the second level, is able to break off the 30-yarder and the second and final touchdown of the game for us. Just wild, wild way to finish it. The Notre Dame media team encapsulated it perfectly with, they put out like a 5-minute video with the players, with the coaches, the videos all synced up, and it was just cinematic. I really enjoyed that, and they've been doing a really good job of covering this team this year. Saturday, we also saw the emergence of a star in the tight end room. Mitchell Evans, 6 receptions, 134 yards. He had a couple big ones on that final drive to move the sticks on third down. But this is a school that we all know, is as long as we've supported and as much as we've watched them, they always produce good tight ends. And I'm hoping between Holden Stays and Mitchell Evans, maybe both of them turn out to be NFL caliber guys. Why not have two of them? But Mitchell Evans looked phenomenal last weekend against Duke, and Stays has looked phenomenal up to this point in the season. We're at the halfway point. We're 5-1. We snuck back into the top 10. We are number 10 team in the nation again. And again, everything's in front of us. I think defensively, for the second week in a row, we continued to keep the other team's weapons at bay. Riley Leonard, 134 yards through the air, touchdown on the pick. He was able to get 88 yards on the ground. So I don't know. I'm not good at math, but about 215 yards, give or take 212, I think it is. Something like that. I don't know. I'm just not good at math. But either way, they didn't have all that great of an offensive day. He held them under 300 total yards because they were only able to run for 189. And with 88 of those coming from Riley Leonard, it's something that you can live with because the quarterback run is, at any level of football, is one of the hardest things to stop because you can't necessarily dedicate someone to the quarterback every play. Some teams do it, but then you get hurt in a different area. So it's unfortunate, but it As long as we find a way to win a football game at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the stats are of the other quarterback. On the defensive side of the ball, I just remember in the pregame calling for a good game from Maurice Lefau. And Maurice Lefau ends up, picking up the fumble at the end of the game that sealed the deal. I don't think that they would have gotten in position to score a touchdown to tie it, but that was the deal sealer. But how about this? Howard Cross, up the middle of our defense, led the team in tackles with 13 total, three solo, a sack, and three TFLs. So some really good performances on defense. JD Bertrand had 11 total, three solo. Xavier Watts, eight totals, two solo and a TFL or half a TFL, and he had an absolute hit stick out there. DJ Brown, seven, Riley Mills, seven, LaFile, six, Harper, five. So, I mean, like, everybody was involved. And then also, too, Xavier Watts had the interception. So, Watts and LaFile on the turnovers, Cross, LaFile, John Baptiste on the sacks. It was a well-rounded performance by the defense. And I think that in these few weeks where the offense hasn't really answered the call or performed up to the level that everyone's expecting them to, having the defense play at this level is phenomenal, and I would only hope that it stands because we haven't even played the toughest offense that we're going to play all season, and that offense is going to be USC. So continue to get better week in and week out. Hopefully, they continue to stack and crack these performances and keep the defensive coaches proud. One thing that kind of killed me on Saturday about the performance was, again, and it's a weekly thing that we've seen with this team, is the penalties. Undisciplined football, just stuff that's not accustomed, that we're not accustomed to seeing at Notre Dame. And I think that they need to clean the penalties up, especially with some of the more marquee matchups that we have coming down the stretch on the schedule. You can't afford to be giving away yards, giving away possessions, and giving away first downs when you're on defense because you can't play disciplined football. It just can't happen. So, got to get that stuff squared away. But on the offensive side of the ball, it'd be easy to give player of the game to Audric Estime, as he was the one who finished the drives. But if you're Bears fans, you can appreciate this analogy. I look at Estime as the fridge on Saturday. I know he had 88 yards, but if Mitchell Evans doesn't do what he does on those touchdown drives and just helping us move the ball down the field, Estime doesn't get the opportunity to punch the ball in the end zone at the end of the game. So for my offensive player of the game, it has to be Mitchell Evans. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I know LaFau got the game-winning turnover. I know Xavier Watts had eight tackles and an interception. But anytime you can get 13 tackles from someone on your D-line, they're player of the game. I had someone the other week on NIU with 10. I thought that was nuts. This week we get 13 with Howard Cross, even more nuts. So continue with the good work. Three TFLs, also stacked. So a very quality performance from him. And he's just been amazing to have on that defensive line as, kind of one of the leaders as he gets to the later parts of his career. They didn't necessarily have stat popping games, but good plays from Rico Flores. Rico Flores got the 2-point conversion, stretched it to 7 points. Jeremiah Love had a reception, but he did a lot more in the running game. He had 51 total yards, but one reception for seven, five carries for 44, so 8.8 yards a pop, and a long of 34. So it was one of those games where we just kind of needed everything that we got from the players that we had because a great house was out. Jaden Thomas was out. All of our receivers were out for this game. And for some reason, nobody knew about this until like 20 minutes before kickoff. So it is what it is. We went to battle on the road against a top 20 opponent with a less than 100% roster, especially in the skill positions, and off of a very gut-wrenching loss. And the team responded exactly how you would want them to. It's not about how you won the game or by how many they won the game. That's all we can ask of them. They did cover the spread, so no one can even be mad at them in that aspect, you know? So they sit at 5-1, and we are on to Louisville. Louisville is a team that in the ACC, they're 5-0. I gotta see who they've played so far this season, because I know I've watched a couple of their games, but not all of them. So they started with a conference game with Georgia Tech. They played Murray State, beat them 56-0. Georgia Tech, I know they had to come back in that game. They won that one 39-34. They beat Indiana on the road, or no, they beat Indiana at home 21-14. They smashed Boston College 56-28. And then last week, they won 13-10 on the road at NC State. And that was a game, too, that they were down 10-0 at halftime. So they've showed the ability to win the low scoring games. They've showed the ability to win the high scoring games. And again, they are undefeated on the season at 5-0. And similar to what I said last week with Duke, they have us, they have Duke, they have Miami, they have Kentucky on their schedule the rest of the way. It's not inconceivable that if they run the table and win the ACC, that they go to the college football playoff. I mean, so these games are, I know it may not look like the level of matchup that Notre Dame Ohio State was, but to Louisville, this is a huge game for them. They got to stay undefeated. They have some momentum. They have the Purdue transfer in Jack Plummer and then Jeff Brom as the coach. So, I mean, it's a team that is revamped. They try to pride themselves on being a high scoring offense, but you know, they've had these games where they've run into bigger opponents that have led to being stinkers. On the season, though, they're averaging just 5 yards short of 500 yards. 300 yards through the air, 193 yards through the ground. And on defense, they're giving up about 327 yards. And it's about two-thirds, one-third passing rushing. So not necessarily the best team on paper, but a team that, if we don't play our best game, can definitely make things difficult for us. And we're at a spot in our schedule where, you know, we have this game against Louisville, and then next week we play USC. So we, you know, the thing is it's great to beat USC, right? But where we're at in our season, you can't lose any more games. So you have to beat who's in front of you. You can't afford to let this be a trap game. And I don't think they will. Going into this game, the ESPN nerds have it at 70.6% for us and 29.4 for Louisville. And then the spread is 7 points. The over-under is at 54. I mean, I think we do win this game by a touchdown at least, but I like the line a lot better at -6.5. So I guess I'll wait to see where that line goes, if it moves anywhere in our direction. But if it goes closer towards like 9, 10, I don't necessarily know how I feel about it. But going into this game, I think that depending on who we have skill position wise, right? Like you had a lot of injuries the last few weeks, and they're not going to be looking to rush these guys back to play right away. I think that offensively, it's going to have to be an Audric Estime show. It's going to have to be, you know, you're going to need something from Mitchell Evans from Holden Stays. You're going to need Hartman to be protective of the football, but also just let it rip, because when we let him ad-lib plays, or when he gets out of the pocket, and even if he has to run or if he finds someone late in the play, like two examples, fourth down conversion, he runs. Another example, the 2-point conversion, he peels out of the pocket, gets a little bit of extra protection. Actually, he did get extra protection because I saw that in the video that they posted afterwards. Estime was like on a max protect, so he rolled with Hartman and he finds Rico Flores. So again, we have probably the most experienced and the most polished quarterback in the nation. You have to use these type of things to your advantage. And I think that we have been. We're just in an unfortunate circumstance where we lost a really tough game out. I think that defensively, anytime that you come up against a team that is able to distribute the ball that the way that Louisville is, right? Like they're good passing the ball, they're good running the ball. It's a relatively balanced offense. They're running back through 5 games. Jawar Jordan has 510 yards, 6 TDs, and their leading receiver, who I could only imagine is a descendant of James Thrash in some way, Jamari Thrash, is averaging 20.2 yards a catch, 5 touchdowns on 22 receptions and 443 yards. So they, in the games that I've watched, which there's only been two of them, I'll say I watched the North Carolina State and the Georgia Tech game for sure. They were down at halftime in both of those games, and they were able to get the stops that they needed and come back and win both of those games all in the second half. So even if just like last week we're up 10 like we were against Duke, the game's definitely not in the bag, and we will have to find ways to put this game away because you can't really allow this Louisville team to hang around because they'll eventually find points. They eventually will, I'd say, probably get close to 20. I don't have a score prediction yet. We'll get to that, later on. But this is, and we're poised to pop off because we've played these two games the last 2 weeks where you have 14 and 21 points. All the weeks before that, it was 42, 35, 38, all this stuff. So I think that it's a week that the offense, regardless of who plays, has an opportunity to get back to that 30 point, not margin because we're not going to win by 30, but get back to 30 points on the scoreboard on offense and just let the chips fall where they may. I doubt the defense gives up 30. I don't think there'll be a game this season. I say then we play USC next week and someone finds this exact spot of the podcast and clips it, but whatever. Like, it, if someone scores 30 on us this season, it's not Louisville. Maybe something in the 20s. I think at the max, like 28 points, but no 31, no 35. If they get to 31 or 35, they have a chance to win this game. But I think that our offense gets back on track. Offensively, I think that the keys to the car this week are in Hartman's hands. Hartman has to get those guys that, depending on what receivers or what tight ends are out there, just make sure that he keeps everyone engaged and everyone involved. Because if the team's going to make a run, whether it's at a New Year's Six Bowl or the college football playoff, you need everyone on the roster that you can get involved in that offense and confident, that Hartman has the confidence that they can make the plays and they have the confidence that they can go out and make the plays. So during this time that we have injured players, I think that we should still lean into the passing game because we have the quarterback to do so. Quarterback makes the players around him better. Use this week to do that. Duke has a better defense than Louisville, but I'd expect to see like 300 yards and 3 touchdowns from Hartman this week, no less. On the defensive side of the ball, it's tough because they are balanced. Like it could be someone at all three levels of the defense if I really wanted to, but I'm gonna go with Benjamin Morrison. Okay, so the guy had so many interceptions last year. He isn't on the same pace this year, but he's still making plays, he's still getting pass breakups, he's still affecting the quarterback's day and making it difficult for the receivers to get catches while they're being guarded by him. I think Benjamin Morrison gets an interception this week, and to double down, I think Benjamin Morrison returns that interception for a touchdown. Defensively, I think at the max, like I said, 28 points, but for my score prediction, I'm going to say 31 to 20. I think that we have enough to get back into the 30-point range. I think the defense is still tough, still sound. They'll break a little to the point, to the tune of 20, maybe 21 points. But I still think that no matter what, worst case scenario, we win this game by 7 points on the dot. The bet pushes. I don't think that, even though it has trap game written all over it, that we lose this game. I think all things considered, we're in a very good chance to ride into the USC game 6-1. And for my score prediction, like I said, 31-21. Offensively, expecting a big game from Sam Hartman. And then defensively, I am expecting a big game from Benjamin Morrison. We'll be back with you guys on the other side of this game to hopefully discuss another Notre Dame victory on the road against Louisville and to get you guys ready for the biggest game for the rest of the season against USC the following week. But again, whether it's your first show tuning in or you've been with us since the start back in 2019, we always do appreciate you for tuning in to Irish on Tap. We'll be back with you guys next week, like I said, to get you ready for USC and to break down what happens in this Louisville game. We appreciate you all. I got nothing else for you guys. As Mama would always say, Irish by 1,000 and go Irish.